Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. We got some questions, and Joseph, maybe even a new title?
Maybe. We're just trying out new titles all the time. Welcome to an episode of Questions of the Everything, which I always like to hear in Palpatine's voice. We put out calls, as always, to our patrons on Patreon for questions during the strike, when strikes, plural, when we were Other Center. We were taking questions about books, music, feelings, lots of questions about feelings, because we couldn't cover Star Wars. We couldn't cover a lot of other pop culture from a struck company. And we really love talking Star Wars, but we want to talk pop culture. We want to talk feelings, books, music. So we put out a call on Patreon for give us any question, a Star Wars question, a life question, whatever you got. So we're going to be experimenting here with questions of everything. Where we'll take a Star Wars question first, and then we'll see what the other question is. Maybe 1 week it'll be two Star Wars questions. But hopefully we'll be having a nice variety, which I'm really enjoying, Ken, because I think a part of what's so enjoyable about it is – I think we've always thought of Star Wars doesn't exist in a vacuum. It is affected by real life. It is affected by whatever's going on with the MCU. But I think we kind of sometimes put like you and I both had childhoods where we were taught rules and then felt like we need to follow rules. And somehow we taught ourselves the rule that You must talk about Star Wars. Maybe for 5 seconds you can talk about James Bond and Game of Thrones, but get back to Star Wars, because Star Wars only. And I'm really loving that this is a Star Wars podcast, but Star Wars is affected by so many other things, and feeling able to talk about Star Wars in granular detail, but also in this larger context of how it is affected by everything else around it, is really fun.
Yeah, I think the value in it, and look, we are a Star Wars podcast. We do know that that's probably what draws in most of you. We get that. But I've had so many wonderful conversations. I recently highlighted my conversation with Andrew, a listener up in Seattle at my comedy show. Just nice words to say about Other Center, about getting to know us. And that stuff, those feelings you're talking about, do flow directly into our views and our thoughts and our perspectives and our understandings of Star Wars. So you're almost seeing how the hot dog is made, which is scary. We had a lot of hot dog talk on the last couple of episodes of Force Center.
It's hot dog week here on Force Center. Hope you enjoy. But as always, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Crimson Climb by E.K. Johnston. This is a Kira book. We're big fans of Kira, so we're hoping to get to that book, hoping to read it and enjoy it eventually. But if you want to give it a listen right now, you can help us out a bunch by downloading your free audiobook today. You can go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for a free audiobook. We also like to do our little ask. Clasp our little hands together like Dickensian waves and say, please, sir, may we have some more YouTube subscribers? Ken, do you want to do our ask?
I hate porridge, but I do love asking. We are trying to reach 7,500 subscribers, and we are so close that, hey, by the time I say this, it could be old news, but I think it's important to ask. The numbers are important. We're trying to not just make a go on it on YouTube like some scrappy kids with dreams. This is a place we've been on for a long time, but expanding our reach and trying to bring in new voices, and new voices in our own fandom and new ears. I'm just throwing body parts and functions out there. It's important to us, and YouTube's the way to do that. And we're trying to get that subscription number up to 7,500. That's our ask. I'll back out before I say something silly.
That is a great ask. You're talking about hot dogs and body parts. Real dark episode here on Questions of the Everything. But YouTube's been great. It's all connected. It's been great to go full faces in the podcast side as well. It's been great on YouTube to definitely see some people who've been with us a long time, but also see some new people trying us out. And it has been great, given the legend of YouTube, where comments can be quite nasty. It's been a dream to hear in the comments other people's take on things stated in such a fun and friendly, like, oh, cool, I grew up at this time and I thought this about it, or I don't normally like this, but I do like it when this happens. I love that. I love hearing the insights. So thank you all to everybody who's been on YouTube and been commenting in such an awesome way.
Yeah, you don't have to comment, but YouTube wants you to comment. So choose words of peace, not words of war, when even disagreeing with us. But it can sometimes get scary. I always say creators and artists and entertainers and broadcasters and comics, we don't love pushback. We don't love hecklers. It's just a side effect of what we do. So it sometimes creates fear into stepping onto a new stage. And you all have been so wonderful. So thank you. I echo Joseph's thoughts.
Yes. Thank you very much for the non-heckle comments. But with that, we're going to get into some questions from James Pasqualucci. That comes this first one. And James says, hello there, Force Center. I usually prefer to stay on the positive side of questions, but I want to confront my fear like a Jedi. So I come to you with this question about a small concern of mine and hopefully get some good Star Wars counseling out of it. My question relates to Star Wars villains beyond the sequel trilogy. What these villains could be is a fascinating mystery to me. It also gives me a small amount of concern. You have talked about how Star Wars is a great balance of the new and old. I ask you, what do you think villains will look like beyond the sequel trilogy, and what is the balance of new and old in creating them? My fear is that we'll go to one of two extremes. Legends tried many new things in the form of villains like the Yuuzhan Vong, Abeloth, and Darth Krayt. I don't want to say these villains didn't work at all, as they do have their fans. However, for some, these villains were just a little too much, myself included. On the other hand, I don't want them to go too familiar. I love the sequel trilogy, and I love what the First Order and the contingency plan represent. However, I guess I have a small fear that we will see another version of the Empire, and I really want to see nary a white armored stormtrooper, planet-killing superweapon, or return Palpatine within 500,000 light years of any story set after the sequel trilogy. So again, I ask, what is the balance? Thank you for the counseling, and may the Force be with you all. James, thank you for this question. It is stated so personally, reckoning with your own feelings and fears and tastes. But I think it's a pretty universal one of a question of how you create not just Star Wars enemies, but enemies for the Jedi. Ken is a starting place. You know, I experienced the Yuuzhan Vong a little bit. Had some pushback, so I didn't dive deep. I did a little bit of a Wikipedia dive on Abeloth and Darth Krayt to refresh myself. I have to admit, I'm not super familiar with them, but they do feel like they're Abeloth and Darth Krayt, both in the sort of category of super Sith, of Sith villains that are sort of big, bad Sith, but still in the general Sith category. Do you have any relationship with those baddies?
No, and didn't Abeloth pop up during the Ahsoka discourse is something that might, you know, there's a possibility there was a reference or Filoni could be leading towards that. I think a lot of speculation was around that. I remember that.
Yeah, I think some Legends fans are reading some tea leaves, and I don't think incorrectly necessarily, or I don't think wildly in that Filoni has been so positive about his love of the EU and wanting to incorporate elements of the EU as he builds out this New Republic era of Star Wars. So I think that's where it was leading to. I don't remember the exact tea leaves that people are reading, but I think that was the spirit of it.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure we might get comments down below, which is okay. Yeah, help us, educate us, not fight back. My relationship with those three is null, almost null and void. I've been pretty vocal about not loving a lot of the EU back then. I just didn't, so I moved on. I didn't do a rant because I don't think I could do a rant video back then. I just moved on and enjoyed what I wanted to enjoy in Star Wars. That doesn't mean there isn't value in each one of them, but there couldn't be things updated and adapted into new canon. I think that's been done successfully by Filoni and so many other wonderful creators. So I'm excited to explore themes that could exist from those characters, because that's the big key that I think draws you and I and so many people in. What are the themes? What's the why? Yuuzhan Vong or a punchline. I use them as a punchline. That doesn't mean they don't have value, and I understand there's fans, and sometimes perhaps even I've been disrespectful to those fans by my Yuuzhan Vong jokes. I just didn't like the concept of not affected by the Force. And again, I'm not in the weeds, so feel free to correct me and wag a finger at me. I just didn't like it from afar. I looked at it. I didn't like the designs. So I didn't engage with any of that stuff. But this question, I'll say before we go on, James, I don't think this is a negative question. This is an exciting question, because we have an opportunity for something brand new or something familiar in a new way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a thrilling question. Same thing. I didn't ever read anything with Abeloth or Darth Krayt. Right now, to me, they're Wikipedia entries, so I don't have a super relationship or strong opinion about them. Yuuzhan Vong, I think I read part of one of the books, and the theory of not being affected by the Force, and I know that might evolve. I don't know. I haven't read the books, and I bet if I had time to read them all, I'd find a bunch of stuff I really like, and there'd be episodes of Yuuzhan Vong Center where I really pull out what I do like about them. But I always have a strong, like, I don't want to depower the Jedi. I think there's that classic Superman question of, like, find a conflict for him, don't depower him. And I feel the same way about the Jedi. Yeah. That's what I knew about Yuuzhan Vong back in the day, so I didn't dive in. So that acknowledged, I want to get into the possibilities of the future. I want to talk about the possibilities of what the villains are, but I want to start with this, Ken. You already touched on this. I think the challenges in creating villains, not just for Star Wars, but for Jedi specifically, is the why, What is their motivation? How does their philosophy or perspective challenge or compromise the Jedi? I think that's a big way they can be different, because they can have different motivations within their goals of battling, conquering, killing. So there's the why, what's their motivation? And then there's also just the sort of the practical and the fun space fantasy question of how can they be a physical threat to the Jedi without depowering the Jedi?
Yeah.
How do you feel about those as kind of two starting places for what you need in a Jedi villain?
Yeah, and it's what makes it so difficult. I think even going back to Yuuzhan Vong, the spirit might have been like, well, what do we do? The EU rolls on, and we got to figure out we've already cloned Palpatine in the EU. We can't – let's do something else. So I get the spirit. It goes to your question, I think, you don't want to lower the Jedi to their level. You want the challenge to be on equal playing fields. I think it's what they asked themselves successfully in the High Republic series. That phase one changed my early opinions on the Nile and Marquion Roe, where I was like, I don't know, marauders and pirates. I get it. Oh, no. It was very politically charged. It was very of its time of when that was written. And also the writers and creators and people behind those books and comics were like, what would the Jedi fear? That's the valuable question. So that's how you have to approach it. It's no easy answer. And that's why I think at times you do go to Sith or dark side users. It just makes sense. Light and dark, the balance, and the dark is the corruption of the light, or the Sith and those dark side users are a corruption of that balance. So that's where you have to start. I don't have the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the High Republic makes me really excited about the possibility, because I think of what villains can be, and really, in my mind, successfully expanding the palette of Star Wars villains, because I think it wrestles with both questions of what is their motivation? So they are compelling characters onto themselves. Why do they want to conquer, kill, stop, control? What is their specific philosophy toward or about the Jedi? So how can the Jedi be philosophically challenged? And then also dealing with how can it be a true physical threat? And, for people who haven't read The High Republic, and I've only read phase one in the first couple books of phase two, so I'm not fully exposed to the phase one villains, but enough to be really tantalized. It was the villain in phase two is the most exciting part of it for me. For people who haven't read High Republic, we have the Nile, who are, they are pirates, but their tactics are antithetical to the Jedi. They are about claiming that they have freedom while having a really rigid, controlling, violent, cruel internal government. They shock the Jedi with their violence and their overwhelming numbers. We also have the Drengir, which are just dark side plants. I think that's one of the big answers of how do you find new villains for Star Wars? Go full pulp. Go to, like, this is, you know, the Day of Triffids, you know, famous British horror film of, like, what if we look, often we look at nature, look at a tree and go, that's beautiful. What if the trees were all talking to each other and wanted to kill us? It's high pulp and it's great because it is. It's the organic dark side that just wants to consume, the Jedi are in their way. We're introduced to the characters with many different names, including the nameless, but are these horrible pulpy creatures that eat the Force and drain a Jedi of their vital life. So it is dabbling into that Yuuzhan Vong territory of, like, we got to have something that can weaken the Jedi. But instead of denying the Force, it's entirely, you know, a manifestation of eating the Force is really cool. The beginning of phase two, which I've read, is the path of the open hand, which is basically a cult with an entirely different perspective in claim on the Force. So you're getting into that philosophical. So for me, like, running down this list of High Republic, it's all these options. It's challenging their perspective. It's challenging their power with pulpy, weird, fantastic creatures. It's the Nile target the Jedi. The Nile know their weaknesses in terms of their attitudes and their beliefs, and what will hurt and demoralize them is random violence across the galaxy is so upsetting to the Jedi, because it's The Jedi are trying to remain order, and they are creating chaos, chaos, chaos. So I just think it's a great template of all the different ways you can come at the Jedi with villains.
Yeah, and as we start to look ahead at what might actually show up, I mean, I think there's you're kind of discussing a little template that might work for me, and I want it again to be new. And again, that James, like that's your question is. How do we actually make it new and not just a repeat? The Nile, this coming from, you know, it's this disenfranchised group coming from a maybe an understandable perspective, whipped up into a frenzy, a violent frenzy by rulers like you talked about. These are people that would storm a capital because they think it's right, and that's what they're trying to put out into the galaxy, these agents of chaos, feeling they're free, but they're not. That's very political. That's very real. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, look at where Rey might be building this order in, you know, another war. We don't want to repeat the mistakes. And from the outside, there's probably people who still think, you know, the Jedi should go away. Hell, we fight that in the fandom. The actual fandom of Star Wars sometimes has this, like, the Jedi were bad and they should go away. So that's also part of looking forward to for me. That template you just talked about.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I agree with you. I think all of Star Wars pulls from the trauma of the real world, and so much of Star Wars is built on what it would make people want to be authoritarians, and the desire for no empathy, just believing that only I should have power. And ultimately, you strip everything with the Empire and the First Order down. It's one. A twisted man who just believes I should control everything. Nobody else should have anything.
Right.
All the cookies for me and death to everyone else, as long as I can maintain it, and everything spirals down from there. A thing that happens in real life. So processing a real trauma. I think what's exciting to me, starting to just speculate, hopefully responsibly, about the new Jedi Order, I agree with James. As much as I love the story told of the First Order, that authoritarian regimes do not want to go quietly, and they're not a defeat at once and we're done, as we're seeing. The world was exposed to horrible authoritarianism in World War II, in Nazi Germany, the true threat of it. It is talked about, reflected again and again in stories all through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then I kind of think starting in the 90s, the Nazis start to feel far away and the lesson forgotten and the lesson diminished. And now we're seeing across the globe new efforts, authoritarianism. So I think the First Order was a great way to address that real life trauma. But you do get to a point where, like, you want something different for the fun and the fantasy and the meaning of Star Wars. So I'm with James on that.
Yeah.
What I'm most excited about, Ken, for New Jedi Order is very few things have been said about this Rey in the New Jedi Order movie. But one of the things that the director, Charmin Obed-Chinoy, said at Star Wars Celebration was 15 years after the First Order War, the Jedi are starting to come back. And there's a bunch of people who don't want the Jedi to rise and flourish. That, to me, doesn't sound like an authoritarian regime that is politically taking over. That sounds to me like a very interesting idea that can reflect the real world, where there's this group here who believes in empathy. They believe in helping one another. They believe we're all in this together. They want to go around and help. But if somebody is violently torturing people, they're going to step in and defend those people. And powerful, entrenched systems who like the status quo, who don't want empathy, who don't want help, who want people to stay exactly where they are and in the systems they are, go, we don't want anybody to stand up for empathy and togetherness. We want the people on our system of planets to believe there's no other way, there's no other hope. That, to me, sounds like the villains might be galactic robber barons, bankers, galactic one percenters weaponizing popular opinion against these Jedi? Who are these wizards to go around the galaxy and make decisions for you? So if that's the why, it's not about taking over the galaxy. It's about we want to keep the galaxy exactly as it is with our systems in place, and we don't want anyone disrupting it with hope and empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can we end them in the arena of popular opinion? And to get into the fantasy and the pulp of it, what weapon can we find to use against them? Mm-hmm. Can we, you know, find some ancient Sith mm-hmm. weapon, be it a tool, be it a person, and use them as a weapon mm-hmm. of keeping the status quo? That's a lot for me to spin out of one thing that the director said, but that's where my mind goes. How are you feeling, Ken?
It's both a lot, but I think potentially really accurate. I'll admit this. I just really want that to be the case. I think you have a story that is about building something new, not just the Jedi Order, but we have the new Republic, whatever it will be called, 15 years after it's been in place. And what you're talking about, because you are 15 years out, and we already know that in Star Wars, history seems to vanish pretty fast, right? That's a joke you could make. I even sometimes have fun with Force Awakens, a movie I love, of like, I heard rumors of Han Solo like 30 years ago. Have you not heard of Richard Nixon? Like, have you not heard of like the Beatles?
Rumors of Richard Nixon.
Yeah. I heard Paul McCartney had a band before Wings. Yeah. Like, but you have enough time with 15 years that exactly what you're talking about of those in power politically, corporations, whatever you want to do it within the Star Wars world, are really excited to be like, no, things are good. Things were good. How big was that threat that we all came together to fight? You know, come on. It's in the past. Let's go back. This is some traditional thinking going on here in the galaxy before Leia and her warmongering ways. They got us into that anyways. I think you play with that. And then the you mentioned earlier of the path of the open hand is a cult-like thing. Like that's kind of a literal, like, behind it all is a cult trying to grasp onto its own power. And you mm-hmm. wouldn't want – you'd want to pervert the meaning of the Jedi and take the truth and take the true intentions, because even the Jedi have some confusion, because that's kind of the complicated gray areas we all live in of multiple truths and different ways to look at it. And people change, people grow, and the Jedi did slip, and you could focus on the slip – and not mm-hmm. the big goal. And if you have someone going, and now you got Rey, who was part of that warmonger and Leia team, is trying to rebuild these bastards. She wants them back. Look at all the destruction mm-hmm. they brought. And you get one person, a political figure, almost as if the villain was like Palpatine without the dark cloak, just Senator Palpatine. You know, like, mm-hmm. and by the way, mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting Senator Palpatine comes back.
No.
but I do want it to be that real, that it's within its – the calls coming from within the government house in the center of the new republic, which they'll have to come up with a name.
Yeah. I mean, I just – people can attach various real world things to it, and I certainly am. But to me, it is mm-hmm, about mm-hmm. Systems where things are pretty explicitly not good for us, but they've just built up that way, mm-hmm. and they can be changed.
Yeah.
But the battle is getting people to believe that they cannot be changed, that right. they are fundamental truths. They always have been. They always will be. And yeah, I think yeah. it's when people kind of see, like, there's various fundamental truths, but, you know, we just make up how transportation works. We decide. Cars aren't the one truth. We decided that. And we could decide something different. Mm-hmm. But if you're a car maker, you want people to believe that cars are a fundamental, immutable mm-hmm. truth, and it cannot be changed. And I think the philosophy of the Jedi, I think, in my opinion, to Lucas, they are heroes.
Yes.
They're heroes walking a difficult path, and they slip.
Yes.
But what I'm hearing, hoping for vibe-wise in the new Jedi Order is finally some time with the Jedi as heroes. Mm-hmm. That Rey's heart is in the right place. Mm-hmm. That she's raising a group of Jedi who are truly helping the downtrodden, the people being victimized by cruel regimes or, you know, capitalism run amok, you know, natural disasters. And being heroes going around and giving people hope that things can be different, that things can change. And the idea of who would want to stop people from being hopeful and empathetic, which is what to me the Jedi ultimately represent, is really powerful. And resetting them as the heroes that just can't exist because we can't let people have heroes.
Yeah, no, look, I think also what you're pitching is that this series is about walkable cities and mass transportation versus big car.
I mean, that's just what I'm trying to find, you know, examples that don't, you know, set the internet on fire. But I mean, I think that about like algorithms on social media. Like, does anybody think they're actually better for us? Like if the people voted, everything would be linear. We want to pick our friends and then see in order what the friends we selected saw. Mm. That does not benefit anybody who owns social media. So they try to train us that that it is a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of endless different amount of heated examples of people who try to trap you into a system and say, this is the way it is. This is the way it should always be. And I think Jedi disrupt that because they question, they empower, they're heroes.
Yeah. Look, I'm joking, and it wouldn't be this direct, but it's almost like it's an election year in this story, and you got a chancellor candidate, and you got some lobbyists, and you got people trying to figure this all out. But one thing I like what you're saying is, I think when a lot of people look at Rey and the New Jedi Order, and we've had the discussions, and we'll probably have them again, a lot of it is like this internal, like what's Rey going to build? What's the attachment stance, right? Mm-hmm. Is Rey going to be able to date? Can any of her students date and take families or those kind of – and there's those – I think those are – wonderful discussions that have around a new Jedi Order, because that's a lot of the debate. You know, the amount of friends I have, and again, they're not wrong. I understand where they're coming from of like those nasty Jedi just going around kidnapping kids to turn.
We got a kidnapping kid question that we're going to come up. I think it's an important part of the story, but
And I think those are things that have to be reckoned with or looked at, and Rey will have that. But what I like about your question, James, is that's going on here, but it all funnels to this point of good. It's justice for the Jedi. We're needed, and this is what we're here for. Didn't you just learn that? And then having people around it can say, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. And we need to get rid of them. That's interesting. And put it in terms of action. And you're talking about a super weapon, or I would expect Sith. I agree. I don't want stormtroopers. I don't want TIE fighters. I don't want Palpatine. I just watched Rise of Skywalker this weekend. I love everything about it, but we're good. We've told that story. But I do want Sith mentioned. I do want dark side use. I do want Night Sisters mentioned. Oh, there's a lot of ways to look at the Force and a lot of ways to use the Force, and not all good. So that would have to factor into it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we just had a long talk about the pulp elements of Ahsoka. I think the more you just have an open mind and an open imagination, you can build on what has come before, but there's no reason you can't have a new planet where dark side worship has emerged, you know, maybe that group of people is manipulated by Senator, not Palpatine to go after, the Jedi, you know. I think you can be, in like the examples from High Republic, you can be extremely imaginative about what is the actual weaponized power that is a danger. Like, you know, why can't Rey just go in and either just have tea with the senator or if you hire some bounty hunters, okay. But there's lots of different ways to approach it. So I think I'm excited about the possibility that this isn't about galactic conquering, that this is about the Jedi can't exist, which will by default make the villains different.
Yeah, they can't exist in this thing we're building now. No one's conquering from the outside, but someone's trying to conquer from the inside, right? It's really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Great question, James. Any final thoughts from you, Ken?
No, again, James, I'm with you. I've spent time thinking about this too. Is it just going to be a red-blooded, dark-cloaked villain? Those always look cool. Fun discussions. I'm sure not the last time we'll discuss, especially as news starts trickling out about what is coming our way.
Yeah, final thought for me, too, is I do feel like, as we've discussed, our whole culture has been on a path of having the fun and the joy of reclaiming old things we thought was lost. Go back to The Force Awakens and the thrill of we're going to get to see the Falcon back in action. Mm-hmm. Chewie, we're home. Our culture wanted that for a while. And I think we've got a lot of that. And there's a natural swing back where people are like, I still love the familiar, but I really need some new.
Yeah.
And I think in a movie about the new Jedi Order, I feel like there's going to be an awareness of let's show them things they've never seen in Star Wars before, because the new is important, too.
Yeah, very much so.
All right. For our audio listeners, we are going to take a quick break. If you're watching on YouTube, we might just freakishly continue because of commercials. What a world we live in. Back in a moment.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. We are excited to continue taking some great questions here on Questions of the Everything. Took a great Star Wars question. And now we're going to take a question from a longtime listener, watcher, friend of the show, Anakin Crespin. That, hey, maybe some Star Wars ideas will come into this, but it is about that ultimate adventure, life itself. Anakin says, hey, friends, don't know if this is too much, but on December 23rd, my entire life was upended when I found out the person I was with for 10 years was being unfaithful. That said, Christmas Eve, Christmas, and my birthday, the day after Christmas, were three of the worst days of my life. Any chance you'd care to share some tales of heartbreak and how you overcame it? Force Center is a huge part of my life and one of the only things helping me to keep it together right now. thanks and may the force be with you. Thank you, Anakin. You have been just such a wonderful supporter. And of course, extremely sorry to hear that you're going through a hard time, and appreciate all of the support you've always given here. So Ken, where do you start with this one?
Wow. Yeah. Anakin, I echo what Joseph said. You've been a presence here for a while. We always make that reference, Anakin's a real name, because, you know, I've communicated with you, and this news hits home, man. I feel real sorry and sad for you. But also, I'm trying to think of what heartbreak to bring into the conversation, Justin. We talk a lot about career heartbreak, those failures, not just things you had and didn't do well at, but like dreams you had. And there's been moments in my life where I've literally gotten a phone call at 2 a.m. that said, your path here is done. What you set out to do and all your energy is done. It's forever changed. I've been blessed to have some okay ends of relationships. I've had some painful ones. I think, I don't know Anakin's age directly. I think with experience and with learning that this too shall pass, that seems trite. That's where I go to now, where as long as I'm still above ground, I've still got a chance to do something. Those three worst days of your life, what can you learn from it? What can you grow from? This is a change. This is an opportunity that's easy to think of from afar when you're in it. My suggestion to those who are in it, and every time I've been in heartbreak, is to, it's okay to wallow, roam around in it, wear it like a cloak, write a poem, write a dark song. It's okay, because I feel if you run away from that heartbreak and you try to push it down or try to the toxic positivity, that's when it really matters. You've said some great things on that in the past, Joseph. Mm-hmm. That's when you're just lying to yourself and you're not processing the pain. There's time to have the analysis later on. There's time to look at what you did wrong, because I've looked back and been like, oh yeah, that was me. There's even some job things with some big digital media companies I worked at that I worked for horrible people and was happy to get out. But I also know that, well, I didn't do all the right things in the situations either. But you can't see that right now. I was just living in the anger or the frustration. So that's part of it too. But as far as the actual, you know, I'll pitch back to you, Joseph, while I get in maybe some more specifics. How I overcome it now is just to know that you will be okay. You just have to work for that.
Yeah. I really echo a lot of things that you're saying of – I think one of the most important things is let yourself feel sad without losing your hope. And even for disappointments and things I've been upset with, 2023 was a real up and down year for me. And there are some in 2023, I've mentioned before, I had some of the worst days I've had in a long time. And one of the most important things to me is to just let myself feel absolutely distraught about the thing that I'm upset with. But I also say, like, I'm going to be the worst grump, listen to angry music, listen to sad music, take walks and rage at the sky.
yeah.
Because I know next week, once I give myself some time to breathe, I'm going to try again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between toxic positivity of like, well, the world sets you back. Just be strong and get on your feet. And mine is like, yes, that eventually.
Yes.
But just like Ken saying, let yourself be sad. Let yourself obsess over the detail that stings for a little while. Mm-hmm. Just don't let yourself stay there. Give yourself the time you need to grieve. You know, for a situation like this, it sounds like you've been in a relationship for a long time. If that relationship ended, great. You'd still have to grieve. So give yourself some time to grieve, give yourself some time to process, but know that it will get better. Know that you are learning things while the grieving is happening, and do not give up hope that it will get better, and maybe even better than it ever was, because you'll learn stuff about yourself as you go through the process.
Yeah.
I have a specific story, because I don't want Anakin asked us to share specific stories.
Yeah.
And it's so I've mentioned many times over the years, I had one real serious relationship before I met my wife, Sarah, and I'm friends with a person now, a dear person to me. I treasure the time that we were together. But the end of the relationship was really hard. Anakin says my entire life was upended. And this was a time where I felt that same thing of my entire life is upended. Been in this relationship. I made a bunch of mistakes. The signs were there, but I was not paying attention to them. I don't think we were doing a great job communicating. So for me, the relationship ended, and it felt both like this deep whisper voice going like, you knew there were problems and you were ignoring them. But then also on the surface, it felt like I slammed into a brick wall at 90 degrees or 90, you know, miles an hour. Yeah. So this particular breakup happened while I was deciding to end the show I'd been doing with my brother for 5 years that I got a lot of identity from. I'd already decided that. And we lived together, and I was definitely the person who needed to physically leave the living situation because a part of it was I was being financially irresponsible, not holding up my end of things. I was also, at that time, I had been just making money from doing shows, but not making enough money. I had quit Kinko's and I had saved up enough money to get by for a while, and the money was dwindling and I wasn't finding a real job. and I was about to turn 30. So it was, I'm going to have to leave and mourn this relationship. I have to give up this show that defines me because it's the right time to do it. I don't have a job. And I'm about to turn 30. Great job at life, self. So it was really difficult. But what became, I always reckon with the what good came out of it, because it's not bad things have to happen to have good things happen. But in terms of dealing with this, I had to look at myself and go, what choices have you been making? Who do you want to be? What do you have? Because I was focusing on what I was losing. And rebirth can be healing, basically. It was a point of rebirth for me of what do I want to be? How have I been letting myself down? How have I been letting others down? Who are people around me who are there and always have been there? Because I'm focusing on the negative that my life, that all these things are gone. And when I look back on that time of rebuilding and rebirth, I was shocked to discover several years later, like, suddenly that's become a happy memory because it was such a time of rebirth and honesty and choosing who I wanted to be, what I wanted to focus on, being honest with myself about the mistakes I made and what I don't want to do again. Mm. So, Anakin, I'm not going to come to you and say, enjoy this time. But I think that when we are forced to deeply take stock of our lives, sometimes we can find there's more in the pantry of our lives than we thought, and it's a time to value your core strengths and to rebuild from there. And I look back on that, not the breakup and the sadness of it, but the chance to rebuild, strangely fondly. Because it's just a time of great honesty and necessity.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. you look back on all the roads that lead you to where you are, and some of them start making sense a little bit later on. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's there's a lot of self-reflection. Even if, you know, I don't know the whole story here. I'll say that, Anakin, but like, you know, you move past the pain that's in there, wallow in it, like I said. You know, I'm saying it's okay if you spend an afternoon crying in a car eating fast food with sad music playing. What a joy. I love doing that every now and then. Sometimes I intentionally do it. It seems weird, but, you know, if you're of that ilk, enjoy it while you got it, is what I'll say. But the chance to self-reflect is the key, and I'm trying to think of specific examples. A lot of my pain in my 20s was self-caused because I was lonely. No women liked me. And then at one point in about 2005, I had a very close friend come visit me, and at the bar at the Hollywood Improv literally said, F you to me. It was like, F you. I've known you since eighth grade. He's like, Yet you say women don't like me? He listed off five in high school that did. He said, well, you couldn't see it because you were so focused on your own pain, so focused on what you didn't have, so focused on what you hated about yourself. You couldn't see it. And I was jealous of the opportunities you were tossing aside. And this is one of my best friends, and so I don't talk to him all the time, but it's one of those lifetime Hall of Fame friends. And I needed that to force self-reflection that I wasn't doing. Now, I'm not saying this relates to anything you're experiencing directly, Anakin, or that you were 100% wronged or 100% right. I don't care about the details. You know the details. But that's what I needed because my pain was coming from myself. And it still does. You know me, Joseph. A lot of the pain comes from inside the head. And the biggest... The biggest leaps forward for me have emerged from darker times, one breakup in 2009. And through all the pain and the tears and the confusion, there was always moments, and this includes employment things. There's always moments when I kind of took that breath, sometimes literally like, what is next? And I get to write that, right? And it's easier said than done. But I needed that exhale. I needed that breath to be like, that was 5 years, and now I'm here. So it's a mix for me. I can't, the specific examples, I've gone through some career stuff before too, but even the career stuff, how I reacted to the career stuff was real damage. It's still even how I do it now. I can get in my head on a bad stand-up set, and I react to it poorly. So that's where I go. I take that breath and try to figure out how am I going to react to this.
Yeah, I think that's great, and I think so many of us have these challenges day to day. You know, one part of our life is going great, but something gets upended, and I think what Anakin is talking about, you know, experience where it feels like everything you know has fundamentally shifted. I think letting yourself be honest and feel the pain, while also checking and going, it feels that way. But who are people in my life that are going nowhere? What are circumstances that are going that are positive? What makes me feel like me and reassures me that I'm still on solid ground? And how can I pursue that? I don't know if you ever do that, Ken. If you ever get to the point of like, all of these circumstances around me has made me question, but at the end of the day, I know I have this. Yeah, because when I was going through that breakup, I know that I'm creative and it makes me feel good to create, and I believe, you know, I'm good enough at it to keep doing it, and that was a healing thing because it was like getting down to something that's like the core of me of like nothing can take that from me. It is a core of who I am. Do you have any sort of go tos of like your house could burn down, Grace could leave you. But you would still have this core of who you are.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean by the, if you're above ground, you know, you still got a shot or still got a chance. You still got you. Again, all this is easier said than done. We're trying to avoid bumper sticker advice, but I think these things work for a reason. The reason I always end up sounding like I'm coaching a baseball team or a football team, it's because there's some basic truths in that as humans. But yeah, I take that and beyond that, in my darkest days that we've all had, and suicidal thoughts have been something I've battled for years, and I'm not alone in that. It sounds silly, but like, have you ever had a great BLT sandwich at a diner? There's a lot of reasons I want to punch my own ticket and get out of here, but that ain't one of them. I'm going to go get that. It sounds so silly. But have you ever looked out on a bird flying over the beach and into the clouds and just had that breath of that breath of just like, this is it, live in this moment, be in it. I want to experience that tomorrow. Like that helped change a lot of my things. Again, it's not easy. Depression's a wicked disease that grabs hold of you. I totally get it. But I hold on to that. So you talk about core. It's like you have this, there's a deep question of who's your core you, and do you lose that? And also deli sandwiches. It's all part of it.
No, I think that's a great point. I think that there is great value in just looking around and seeing, the little things you enjoy. And, you know, I kind of normally in like a story, it'd be like, going for a walk and looking out on a cliff and seeing this beautiful horizon, or just staring up into the clouds. And it's really fun to picture just staring up into the clouds and there are BLT sandwiches up there. And damn it, we're not done yet. There's still a BLT sandwich in the sky. We're not done yet.
That's that Noah and the Whale song on the last night of my life. I'll pay a high price to be done with my life. I think in the movie Glory, one of my all time favorite films, Matthew Broderick knows they're about to, Colonel Robert Shaw, they're about to march to their death, and he lets his horse go free as he stares out into the water in the clouds, and the music swells. Just Photoshop a deli sandwich there, where that's me letting go of all of it. I've had enough deli sandwiches.
Well, there you go. There's our advice, Anakin. Let yourself feel sad, but hang on to the hope of a BLT or whatever the BLT in the sky is for you. Our thoughts and feelings are with you, and thanks for asking this very good, very important question. So many people are going through this kind of stuff in big ways and little ways all the time, so I think it's a great universal experience to discuss.
Yeah, much love to Anakin, and just sing this song to yourself. The sandwich in the sky keeps on turning. You'll be all right.
Oh, and then the mayonnaise dripping from the sky. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, that is it. Those are our questions of everything, from the villains threatening the new Jedi Order to the BLTs in the sky. That's what you can expect from questions of the everything. Ken, want to take us home?
Can we please clip out that Rise of Skywalker moment and just sub Joseph going, questions of everything.
Everything.
I'll give you everything. All right. Hey, you can find us on Twitter and Threads at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. Instagram as well, if you're on that site. I know a lot of people are. I spend more time there now these days. We are on YouTube. Subscribe there. Help us reach our goals and you see our faces. That's right. Podcast available in a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/Force Center, where maybe we'll have Brian Ward. We'll pay Brian Ward to make a new shirt. It's called the BLT in the sky. Maybe it'll work. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. There you get a monthly show. We got the Will of the Force exclusively for all of you there. Follow me at KedNapsock. Go to my website, KedNapsock.com. Hey, I literally took some of the stuff I was thinking and talking about today and put it into a song called Last Step First. It's on the Moon Agers' first EP, Broken Pieces of What Remains. Information on my website there. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on most of the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. Not too active on the old bird site these days, but the butterfly site, Blue Sky, changed their logo to a butterfly.
It's beautiful.
It used to just be clouds, so then you'd have to Photoshop a BLT into that. Anyway, you can find me on most of the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw is my handle everywhere. I have some news and some fun things coming up soon. You can also check my website, josephscrimshaw.com, to links to comedy albums, all sorts of stuff like that. Buying comedy albums really, really helps get more money flowing for the films that I'm continuing to work on. So if you've done that or would like to consider that, that helps a ton on Bandcamp. Link on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. But that is it for us. For now, we have Aid the Cues.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.